Let me pray for us as we come to consider God's word. So, Lord, as we continue to think about being church together, we pray that you would inspire us, help us to hear your voice, and Lord, help us to follow your calling. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like I said, we are continuing this series, looking at what it means to be church together. Here we all are. What does it mean for us to be church together? So far, we have talked about, from 1 Corinthians 12, being one body with many parts. Everyone has something different to offer, but actually what everyone offers comes together to form the whole. Without you, actually we're incomplete. So we are the body together. Then a couple of weeks ago, we thought about discipleship. The point is that we are church together so that we can grow in our faith together. And of course, the table over here has lots of ideas on it about how we as a church are helping people to grow in their faith. It gives you all the different ways that you can engage and participate in that. Then last week, we started talking about service. That as we work together, as we serve one another, as we serve the purpose of the church, actually, we all get to contribute in different ways because we're given different gifts with different kinds of people, different circumstances. And again, there are loads of ideas on the sheet over here about how you can be engaged in the way that the church serves in order to help us to grow in our faith together and in order to help us to reach out so that others can also hear about the saving faith that they can have in Jesus. Do please have a look at those sheets, sign up for different areas. I'll be taking them down probably during the week this week. So do sign up and have a look at them before they disappear. That would be really great. But we're moving on now. And today you will have picked up, you will probably have noticed from the readings that we are going to be talking about giving. And specifically about financial giving. What we're going to do is, first of all, we're going to talk about some of the biblical principles. Why is it that you might want to give to the church? Why is it that you might want to give in other areas? Looking at some of those biblical principles for that. And only after we've looked at that will we take a few minutes to think about St. Mary's particular situation and needs, and therefore how we as a body, as a church together, can meet those needs. So the context. The context of the 2 Corinthians passage that Nathaniel read to us, it's a letter. We know that 2 Corinthians is a letter. It's a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. He wrote that letter because he was about to come through Corinth on his way back to Judea. And he was well aware that actually there was a famine in Judea. And he was trying to raise money from all the other churches that had been planted out of the original church in Judea to take back to support the church that was going through a tough time. The apostle has been boasting to some of the other churches about how well the church in Corinth is doing, and he really wants to make sure that they actually deliver against how well he's been saying that they've been doing. It's a case of, well, put your money where your mouth is the kind of thing that he's writing to them. So he's not writing about regular giving to sustain the life of the church. He's writing about, in fact, the extra over, right? They've obviously in a situation where they are sustaining their church as it is, but he is writing about the extra over to make the gift to the Judean churches. And so we're left with the question, well, why would a majority Greek church, because of the place that it was, be wanting to help a Judean church, which in their world would have felt like it was the other side of the world? Because the distances, though they're not great for us today, would have been quite large when they considered them. Why would they want to give to help those other churches? And that's where we come to these biblical principles that the apostle is laying out for them. So the first one that I want us to think about is this idea that you can't outgive God. Okay, you can't outgive God. We kind of all know this, don't we? We know that God has been enormously generous to us, and that any giving that we then do is only ever a response to what he's already done for us. So you can't outgive God. In verse 8, it talks about how God is able to bless you abundantly. In verse 10, God will enlarge the harvest of what? No, not your crops. He will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And in verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous. So note that God is not necessarily talking about material blessings. That may be included, but that's not necessarily, that's not at all the focus of what he's talking about. You can't outgive God because he will give you salvation, forgiveness for your sins, hope of heaven, purpose in life, things that are far more valuable than anything in your bank account. Anything in your bank account. So the ways that God will give to us, they're just so much greater than anything that we can give to him. We can't outgive what he has already done for us in Jesus. So that's the first principle. The second is a bit odd, because God seems to bless generosity. Okay, so in verse 6, it says, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And in verse 7, God loves a cheerful giver. It almost reads as if there's a sort of I scratch your back, you scratch mine. If we give generously to God, then he'll give generously to us. That doesn't sound right, does it? That doesn't fit with what we know about Christian faith. So we need to think a little bit harder about what might be going on here. It's not a contract. It's like a rule of thumb, if you like. There was a famous archbishop who once said, when I pray, coincidences happen. When I don't, they don't. It's not a hard and fast rule that if you pray, these amazing God coincidences will happen. But it does tend to go that way. And I think this is the kind of thing that the apostle is writing about here. It's a rule of thumb. If we are generous people, then we suddenly find how generous God is with us. It's something we see in our experience as we live life, isn't it? That God is like that. So we've got the first two principles. You can't outgive God, and God seems to bless generosity. And then as we go on in the passage, we find that generosity leads to thankfulness. Yeah, in verse 11, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. In verse 12, not just supplying the needs, but overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. And in verse 13, seeing their faith to give generously, the apostle writes, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. There's this sense in which actually what people are giving thanks for is the fact that that church in Corinth was acting like they should, living out the faith that they profess. And wouldn't it be great if that's kind of the impression that people had of us here, that we were living out the faith that we profess? And of course, in that particular context, he's writing about it in terms of giving generously. So generosity is a marker of genuine faith. Right? If our faith is really sunk deep inside us, then every single one of us will be generous people. We'll have different gifts, abilities, money, all the rest of it to be generous with, because we know that's the way it is. But actually, our generosity will point towards the God who has saved us, the faith that we have in God. It's a question of, do we trust God with our money, isn't it? If we genuinely trust God with our money, actually, firstly, we'll realise that it's his money anyway. And secondly, we'll realise we can be quite open-handed with it. Because actually, there's that thing that we've already talked about where God tends to bless generosity. So generosity leads to thankfulness. You can't outgive God. God seems to bless generosity, and generosity leads to thankfulness. Then I'm going to take us on into the gospel reading that Margaret read for us. Jesus is at the temple in Jerusalem, and he's watching what's going on. And they've got the collection box right at the entrance to the temple. And as he sees the poor widow putting in her small copper coins, his comment is very clear, isn't it? I think part of the point that he's making is that generosity is not just for people who can afford it. Actually, generosity is for everyone. So you might be sitting here listening to me talking about generosity and going, that's all very well and good, but I haven't got anything, so that's it. Switch off. But that's not the point that Jesus is speaking to here when he talks about, I mean, this passage is famously called the widow's mite, isn't it? Actually, we all have a mite, a little bit, from which we can be generous. Some of us, our mite is quite mighty, right? And others of us, not so much. And I get that. But generosity is for the poorest as much as for the richest. So in verse 14, giving out of your wealth is one thing, but giving out of poverty is clearly viewed as precious by Jesus. Jesus' expectation is that everyone will give. And in this passage's context, it's in order to facilitate worship. Now, okay, it was temple worship in Jerusalem, and that's slightly different to the way that we gather for worship in church today. It is probably, though, our nearest equivalent that we have to church today. This sense of we give to facilitate what the church should be doing, right? There's a rumour out there that the church is loaded, and frankly, they'll just sweep in and pay for everything. It's only a rumour, folks, right? That reality is so far from the truth that it is hardly worth talking about. The reality is that if we want St. Mary's to be an amazing church, it's up to us, right? There's no one else who's going to sort of sweep in. They will sweep in to sort out the heritage of the place. Right? Well, we hope they will anyway. But no one's going to sweep in to make the ministry of the church just happen. Actually, that's something that we do together. So that's why, as well as these biblical principles, I also want to talk about the context that we are in at St. Mary's. I'm going to actually spell things out quite plainly. I mean, we need to talk about these things. If we want St. Mary's to be an amazing place, and we realise that we're the ones who have to make that happen, then we also need to realise the challenge that we face. It's also probably really good if you know how we spend your gifts. You know, people give to the church, and that's fantastic. But actually, if you know how we spend it, then actually there's a sense in which that kind of, from the Apostle Paul, results in thanksgiving, because actually we can see what's happening and we can give thanks for it. So the context here at St. Mary's. Now, you don't need to know very much anything about the way that the Church of England organises itself. But suffice it to say that from what you give, we make a contribution to the Diocese of Chester, which is called Parish Share. Okay, that pays for clergy stipends. Thank you very much. Andy and I are receiving clergy stipends, and we're very thankful for that. So some of it goes towards that. Some of it goes towards the work of the diocese. They do quite a lot of work on our behalf. In the background, they have safeguarding professionals doing stuff. They have people who are responsible for, who know a huge amount about church buildings, advising us on different stuff. They've got housing officers, because clergy have housing as well. All this kind of stuff. We pay towards that. They provide that so that we can have clergy in our churches. We also provide a little bit to the national church. Not very much, but a small proportion of our parish share goes towards the national church to help them to do some of the big campaigns that they sometimes do. You might have heard of Thy Kingdom Come, a big prayer campaign that they run. They also run campaigns in Lent and in Advent, where there's apps that we can all use to help us to pray and to prepare for both Easter and Christmas. They do things like that, and we contribute a little bit towards that. We need to realise that here in this parish, in the diocese in which we sit, we are massively subsidised. So every year we are asked to pay £35,000 of parish share. Okay, now think about what we're getting for our £35,000. We're getting two full-time members of clergy, we're getting the support of the diocese, we're getting the support of the national church. That's quite a lot, for quite a little. We actually pay only 45% of what the average other church, other parish, is expected to pay. right? So we should be very thankful to Chester Diocese. This is an absolute bargain that we're working to. So we pay about £35,000 there. Our next sort of biggest outlay is insurance and utility bills. Now, it's not just St Mary's we're talking about. We've got St Mary's, we've got St Luke's in Brinnington. We're still looking after St Thomas's, though hopefully not for very much longer, and St Andrew's is paying for itself. But our next biggest outlay is insurance and utility bills. We probably spend in excess of £25,000 a year on those. A large chunk of it is insuring this place, right? So we've got that going on. And then we've got sort of minor upkeep is the next biggest bill that we have. About £10,000 a year probably goes towards minor upkeep. We try to keep the heritage bit separate, so hence the fundraising for all of that. So that's a little bit separate. But my point is that just to stand still and have our running costs, we're talking about £7,000 a year, that kind of thing. Who's going to hazard a guess then? What does the average adult have to contribute if we want to stand still? Absolute silence. No, do the maths. Do the maths. Anyone got anything? About £1,000 a year. Yeah, yeah. How much is that a week? About £20 a week. Yeah. That's a challenge, isn't it? That is a challenge. But actually, that's how much it costs to keep a church running, okay? And that's sort of only just what it keeps to keep a church running, right? We don't actually receive that much in congregational giving. We make up the difference with, for example, lettings of the buildings and eating into the reserves that we have, which are almost disappearing now. But that's in order to do what we do right now. Right? I would love us to be a really ambitious church. Right? I would love us to be looking at what's going on right now and saying, well, where are the gaps? What are we not doing that other churches do? You know, yes, we have our full-time clergy. We keep things going as best we can in the way we are doing them right now. But actually, wouldn't it be great if we could really develop some areas of church life? Wouldn't it be great? I mean, lots of churches have a full-time youth worker, and some of them have even a full-time children's worker to go along with that as well. Wouldn't that be great? Can you imagine what they might be able to achieve in terms of bringing Christian good news to the children in our local schools? Wouldn't that be amazing? And then to actually do church-run stuff where we're able to disciple them as well. Lots of that going on. Wouldn't it be great, actually? I mean, fantastic the way that our worship band are leading us. Absolutely brilliant. Wouldn't it be great if we can develop that to just a whole new level, you know, by maybe having like organized choirs and music groups and things like that to draw people into the life of the church? So much potential. I have to say this because, you know, got a slightly crazed look in my eyes. Wouldn't it be great if we had some admin support for the vicar? The work of the cafe is brilliant, right? I haven't mentioned them in our outgoings because actually they sort of pay for themselves, which is absolutely brilliant. Wouldn't it be great if we could develop and expand what we do and have like a whole hospitality program going on? Again, to draw people into the life of the church, to build the community where we are. There's so much potential of what we could do, but right now we can't even consider it. And so the question I want to leave you with is, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth because he wanted them to live out what they believed and be this generous church which was supporting other churches. What kind of church do we want to be? And how are we going to make that happen? Right? We've got to talk about, you know, there's no point not talking about finance. We've got to talk about finance because actually finance helps us to be the kind of church which not only knows the good news of Jesus, knows the hope that we have, the salvation that we share, but teaches people it, helps us all to grow in our faith together, and not only that, actually models it to the whole of Stockport. See, that's where we should be heading. How can we do that? And obviously giving plays a big part in that. So what I want to finish with is just letting you know how it is possible to give to the church. Right. My challenge to you all is whether you've been giving loads for a long time or whether this is kind of brand new to you. The challenge is, can you just review your giving? Right. have a look at it and go, actually, can I be a bit more generous? Can I aim towards some of these extra things that we would like to be able to be doing as a church? So it's good for you to know exactly and explicitly how you can give to the church. I think Andy's got a slide for me. The giving slide, what's going to come up? Lots of ways that you can give. The first way is with cash. Now, there's the collection box at the back of church, and some people give with the envelope scheme, which is great. And if you want to know about the envelope scheme, it's just a way of keeping track of what you are giving, mostly actually so people don't forget. You know, it's very easy just to be here but kind of forget and then miss out on the fact that you meant to give and that you haven't. So there's that scheme there. Next up, we've got electronic giving. So you'll notice at the back of church there's a big QR code. You can scan the QR code on your phone and you can follow through the steps to give that way. But actually, much easier, we've got the digital giving station next to it, where you can just click the amount you want to give, swipe your card, and you're done. So we've got that. But actually, far and away from our perspective, the best way to give to church is if you're able to set up a standing order. Firstly, you never forget then. And secondly, it helps us as a church council to plan when we have an idea of how much giving is coming in on a regular basis. So we've got that. And that sheet of paper is actually at the back there with the bank details you need to set up a standing order. So those are the ways to give. We've talked about actually our ambition to give so that we can be the kind of church that we want to be. And then the last thing I want to mention is, of course, if you pay tax, please fill in a gift aid form, because the church then gets 25% more from your giving. So if you're able to do that, that's even better to help the church. But always make your giving with those biblical principles in mind, right? Giving because of how much God has given to us. We can't outgive him. Giving because God seems to bless generosity. And what better way to be generous than to support the church, because we are seeking to bring good news to the whole of Stockport. Giving because generosity leads to thankfulness. Wouldn't it be great if there are people out there who've never even thought about church life, but actually because we became the kind of church that could do so much more in terms of outreach, that one day they are amongst us giving thanks to God. And giving because actually we realise that giving is for all of us. It's not just rich people who give. Everyone gives. Yeah, different amounts. I realise that. But giving, because God, Jesus, clearly, as he saw the widow, viewed her giving as particularly precious because it was so sacrificial. So I'm going to stop there. Let me pray for us. The challenge to review how we are giving and to, you know, do what we can to make it the church we want it to be. So let me pray. Lord, thank you that, you know, I may be squirming up here talking about giving because it's difficult. But actually, you face these issues head on. You talked about how we use our money so often in your parables and in the Gospels. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be church together as we give generously, not only of our money, we're talking about that today, but also in service and in our discipleship. Lord, help us to grow together to be the people that you want us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.